Okay, let's get started with Chulin Daf Lamed Gimel. We are on Lamed Beis, Amed Beis. Let's start with Gufa. With Gufa, we just had a couple of answers, three answers to be exact, relating to how to fit this our Mishnah of Psikas HaGageres and Shechitas HaVeshet. How does that fit in with the Mishnah at the beginning of the next parak? That Mishnah, at the beginning of Elo Trefas, calls those types of problems in the animal a Trefa, while our Mishnah called it Nevelis. So how do you get out of that sphere? So we had three different answers. Rava said it depends what you did first. Did you shech the first simon and then the other simon became problematic, or vice versa? That was Rava's answer. The second answer, Reish Lakish had said, maybe it depends if you exactly put the knife on the mark where the problem was versus if you did it separately, which reminded me yesterday, I forgot to mention, similar, I mean, it's totally different context, but it reminds me of the Mishnah Berurah quotes the Medaktikim, mark the challah before they cut it on Shabbos. Because the Shulchan Aruch says in Hilchos Betiyas HaPas on a weekday, that because we don't want to have a hefsek between cutting and making the bracha and eating it, so that is why we cut it a little bit beforehand. But on Shabbos, you have the problem of Lechem Mishnah. So that is why we're not allowed to cut it, the Shulchan Aruch says, on Shabbos. The Ramah writes in Hilchos Matzias HaPas. But the Mishnah Berurah says in Hilchos Shabbos that the Medaktikim still mark it. They're not allowed to cut it because that would ruin Shlemus, but they mark it. So sometimes we mark it, and then the point is to mark it at the beginning of the cut. But sometimes we spend so long looking for the mark and trying to cut in the exact same spot, that's more of a hefsek than not doing the cut at all. So we should make sure we remember what the reason for the halacha is. That's like the shachat b'makam chetach or shalom b'makam chetach. That was all Reish Lakish number two. And number three, which was the simplest answer, Reb Chiya Bar Abba said, that Reb Yochanan, it was the same person as Reb Akiva before and after he was Choser Bo. And even though the later Mishnah was the earlier one historically, chronologically, and this Mishnah was the one after he was Choser Bo, okay, Rashi said yesterday, ain't Seder LaMishnah even within one Masechta. Okay, so now we're up to Gufa. Lamed Beis, Amed Beis. Amr Shimon Lakish. Shachet es hakana v'yachar kach nikva hareya. So that's the Reish Lakish said yesterday. If he shech the kana, and then there became a problem with the lung. So the Gemara assumed, Rashi explained it yesterday, that the lung is dependent, its existence and its viability is dependent on the kana. So right after one shechs the kana, the reya, which is connected to it, is as if it's not on the animal anymore. It's totally cut. So let's say the lung gets a hole after you already shech the kana. It's not a problem. Kshera, why? Because as we said yesterday, it's as if it's sitting in a basket. That was the language of the Gemara. Amar Rava. So Rava limits that. Lo Amar, Rabbi Shimon ben Lakish, Ela Bereya, Hova Chayreya Tliya Bekana. This only applies to the rear of the lung, or the Ron quotes some other day as maybe a couple of other vital organs, maybe also the Kaved, the kidneys. Hova Chayreya Tliya Bekana, because whatever's Tali on the Kana, and if it gets a problem after the Kana is cut, that's not called a Trefa. Avo Bebnei Me'ayim Lo, but if it comes to the intestines, which are not Tali on the Kana, so that if there's a problem in the Bnei Me'ayim, after Shechitas Kana, it still would matrif it, still would create trefus. That is Reish Lakish. Maskefla Reb Zera. So says Reb Zera, this is the last thing we did yesterday. Me'acher shenol dubasimani trefa hitarta. Reb Zera says, 1 second. You just said that if it gets a simen trefa after you cut the Kana, you matter it. Right? If it gets a problem in the Reya, in the lung. So Mali Berea, Mali Bnei Me'ayim. What should the difference be? Why should there be a difference between the Reya and the Bnei Me'ayim? What's the svar? What's the assumption of Reb Zera? Rashi explains it beautifully. The assumption of Reb Zera is that he does not hold the issue is that it's kamad mancha b'dikul adami. Because then he would be mechalik between the organs that are tali on the kana and not tali on the kana. That's not what his svar is at this point. His svar at this point is, look at Rashi on the second wide line, kiva de miksasa ishtachit sulo mitrifa she'ein trefa lachatzi chiyas. Once the animal is basically half dead, you cut one simen, boom, it can't become a trefa anymore. Trefa means before you start shechita, there's a problem, there's a trefa. But once you start the shechita, so then there can't be any trefas anymore. That's the svara of Reb Zera. If that's the svara, then there shouldn't be any distinctions between which part of the animal became problematic or not. So that is the assumption of Reb Zera's question. Again, there shouldn't be any difference between the different vital organs because ein, the svara is ein trefa lachatzi chiyus. So then the Gemara says, Hodr be Reb Zera. Reb Zera was Chozer Bo. We'll see from the following discussion that it must be Reb Zera was Chozer. What does it mean, Chozer Bo? That he agrees to the original Svara of the Gemara. What's that? The Svara of, once I cut the Kana, so that anything that's dependent on the Kana is as if it's out of the animal. And therefore you would be Mechalik between certain organs and other organs, between the Reya and the Bnei Me'ayim, for example. So, Hadabei Reb Zera, where do we see this? Where do we see that Reb Zera was Chozerbo from the Svara of Ein Treifa Lachatzi Chiyas to admitting to the Svara of Kaman Demancha B'Dikula Damya? So, we see it from the following eight-line discussion. Once we get to the end of the eight-line discussion, we'll see Reb Zera was Chozerbo. And then we'll get back to Reish Lakish after that. But let's see what the Diak from Reb Zera. Dabai Reb Zera, 5 lines to the bottom, Nikvu B'nei Me'ayim, Bein Simon L'Simon. If the B'nei Me'ayim get a puncture between each simanim, Reb Zera asks, Mi mitztaref simin rishon l'simin sheni l'tara medena vela olo. If the B'nei Me'ayim become problematic between the simanim, do each of those simanim, can they be mitztaref to each other to create a good shechita in order to prevent tumas nevela? We usually know, we've said, shechita does two things. A regular shechita, it prevents tumas nevela, and it's makshir the animal for eating. There's usually two things the two things that happens here. Here you're not going to have that, because here there was a trefa between the simanim, right, the B'nei Me'ayim. So the animal, the Reb Zera's assumption is that the animal is not able to be eaten. But the question is, mi mitztaref simin rishon, could you be mitztaref the simanim? What is the shayla? So for this we have to read Rashi. Rashi says, see Rashi, mi amrinan, about the eighth medium line, mi amrinan, this first simin, as we're about to see, does two things, the second simin does one thing. And the question is, could they be mitztaref? Because they're not exactly doing the same thing. In a regular shechita, they do the same thing. But here you have a treif in the middle, the B'nei Me'ayim or Nitraf. So the question is, could they be mistarif? Let's see Rashi. Mi amrinan simin rishon nishchat lebeis dvarim. The first simin was shechted with two things in mind. That was the goal of this shechting, this first simin. Leheter achila ulatar midei nevela. To make it able to be eaten halachically, and to be matar midei nevela. V'simin sheni lo balatir b'achila. The second simon is not coming to be matar b'achila, shahare nitrafa, because they got a hole in the B'nei Me'ayim in the intestines in between. But it can be coming to finish the ma'isa shechit, to be matar midei nevela. We know sometimes there are cases where an animal is not able to be eaten, but it's not nevela, right? It's trefa, regular trefa. It's not tameh. Right, you're allowed to, if you touch it, it doesn't make you tummy. It's not one of the Avas Satomas, but it is, it does prevent from nevela. So that's the Shiloh Reb Zera. Do we say that in this case, where there was a problem between the simanim, so that the first simon is accomplishing two things, the second simon is accomplishing only one thing, could they be mitztaref to accomplish that one thing that they have in common? That's the question that Reb Zera asked. Mi mitztaref, again, the language of the Gemara. Mi nikvu b'nei me'ayim beit simen l'simen. Mao mi mitztaref simen rishon l'simen sheni l'tar m'dei nevei lo. Do we say that they can be mitztaref because they do have a common denominator? They're both trying to be mitztaref m'dei nevei lo. Or do we say that no? The first simen also has another focus. It has l'hasr basr ba'achila, which the second simen does not have. And therefore, they can't be mitztaref. And m'meila, the animal's in nevela. So that was Reb Zera's question. The Amrinan, and we said, the Bali Beis HaMedrash said to Reb Zera, Lav Hainu Dabai Ilfa. Isn't that exactly the same question that Ilfa asked later on? Who was Ilfa? Remember the story from Masechas Tainis? Ilfa and Reb Yochanan. They were good friends. They were in the Beis Medrash, and they left the Beis Medrash, I think Daf Chaf Aleph or so. They left the Beis Medrash, and on the way, they take a nap under a tree. And in the middle of their nap, Reb Yochanan has a vision that he has to go back to the Beis Medrash, and he hears a voice, and he says to his friend Ilfa, he was only Yochanan at the time, so he says to his friend Ilfa, he says, Ilfa, did you hear that? I was like, what are you talking about? So Yochanan says, you hear that? We have to go back to the Beis Medrash. Didn't you hear the voice? I didn't hear any voice. He was asleep. Go back to sleep. And what happens at the Gemara says that Yochanan went back to the yeshiva and became Rabbi Yochanan, and Ilfa went into business. Not that business and being a balabas is, but for him, Ilfa had tremendous kochos, and he could have gone back. The Gemara treats it and looks a little bit askance at Ilfa. But that's the story. So I once heard from Rav Meir Torsky, what was wrong with Ilfa? He didn't hear the voice. Rabbi Yochanan had the dream. Ilfa didn't have the dream. And throughout Shas, we see Ilfa daring other Tanoim to test him, as if to say, I know as much as Rabbi Yochanan, test me. It's just that I didn't become a Rosh Yeshiva. There's a Gemara in Ksuvis that Ilfa's on the edge of a boat, and he says, quote me any brisa, and I'll quote to you where the source is in a Mishnah. And if not, I'm going to jump off this boat. So you see throughout the Magali Sayam on Sanhedrin. He was also he was not a Rav. So he talks about Ilfa in the Hagdamah to the Magali Sayam. Kind of autobiographically, he talks about him there on the first page of the Magali Sayam. So anyway, so the Gemara said, why was he faulted? So Baturski said that really they could have both heard the voice, but only Rabbi Yochanan had his antennas tuned in. He was the only. He was on the right channel. Right here, we're here in camp. You have to go to all the different walkies. Go to 2. Go to 4. Go to this. Go to that. He was on the right number. He was on the right channel. He says Ilfa. So there was a little fault of Ilfa. We always have to be on the right channel when HaKadosh Baruch Hu is trying to talk to us and give us messages. You know, we always have to be tuned in. Whenever we hear Ilfa in the Gemara, we have to know. So boy Ilfa. So Halavai, all of us not sitting and learning should ask kashas about as Ubar sticking their hands out in terms of Shrita. Halavai, that should be our focus. Okay, Tavoy Ilfa, last line. Hotzi, so we're going to ask a parallel question to what Reb Zeira asked. And again, the implicit assumption of this whole discussion is going to prove that Reb Zeira was Chozerbo. That's the goal of this couple of lines. So Tavoy Ilfa, Hotzi Ubaris Yado Ben Simon LeSimon Mahu, we're going to get to later on in the fourth parak, all the halachas of shechting an animal, and there's a baby inside. There was an Uber inside. So generally, if the baby was inside, and the mother had a good shechita, so then the baby is mutter without shechita. We're going to learn about that. That's the chiddush of called Ben Pekua. But what happens if the baby was not so, wasn't so agreeable? He stuck his arm out. The fetus stuck one paw out, one leg out, forearm, before the shechita was finished. So that, we will learn, has the status of a trefa, that leg, because it went outside of its mechitzas. So says Ilfa, Hotzi uberes yad ben simon l'simon. So that yad is not edible, because it has the status of trefa. So it's the same exact type of question. So mahu, mi mitztarif simon rishon l'shein, simon sheni, the time of din avei lo. Same kind of question. You have a problem in the middle of the process. A trefa. We're paralleling a hole in the intestines to the animal sticking his yad out, and that's the question that Ilfa asked. Same kind of question. But what's now the whole assumption of all these questions? Ad kalomi bayla and Reb Zeira's whole question and Ilfa's whole question. We're not even going to answer it now. But just the assumption of the question. The whole question was, Ela Latara Midei Nevela. The old Shaila was, does it still have Tumas Nevela or not? Aval Ba'achila Asura. But if it's definitely Asur Ba'achila, right, in both of these cases. So, the Rishonim explain, if Reb Zeira still held of his original assumption of Ein Shreifa Lachatzi Chiyus, it wouldn't automatically be a Treifa. Once an animal started to be Shechted, then it can't become a Treifa. It can only become a trefa if there was a prior condition. There was a prior situation. But if it's in the process already, ain't trefa l'chatzichiyus. But he doesn't say that here. It says it's definitely aser to eat. Haraya, it must be that he was chozerbo. He doesn't hold of his original svara of ain't trefa l'chatzichiyus. It must be that he switched to the svara of that once you shech the kaneh, once you cut the kaneh, it's kaman demancha b'tikuladami, and that is why he asked the question. The Gemara just says one final line related to this, and then we'll get to a separate new discussion. Amalei Ravacha Barav Loravina, Timel Olam Lo Hadirbei. There's no raya that Reb Zeira was chozerbo from this question. Reb Zeira Ledvarav Derava Kamar Avalei Lo Svirulei. Maybe he was only asking a question according to you, Rava, who limited Reish Lakish's statement, and you said it only applies to the lungs and not to the intestines. I would say it applies to the intestines too. Because ain't shreifa l'chatzichiyus. Okay, so that is just a question of what Reb Zeira held. Period. So now we branch off a little bit and get on to some other topics. Amar of Acha Bar Yaakov. Shema mina b'dir shemim lakish. We learn out from Reish Lakish. Again, what did Reish Lakish say? Reish Lakish said on yesterday's daf, if you shech the kana, and then if I shech the one of the pipes, and then there's a trefa in a vital organ of the animal that's connected to that kana, it doesn't create problems. Because it's as if that part of the animal is already out of the animal. And therefore it's not a problem. Says Reish Lakish, says the Gemara, you learn from there, from Reish Lakish the following halacha. Mizamnim Yisrael al-Bnei Me'ayim, ve'mizamnim al-Dikachav al-Bnei Me'ayim. Jews are allowed to eat kishkas. Literally. Intestines. Right? Siyat HaShmat, the Erev Shabbos, Baruch Hashem. Right, you can't, this is a raya that you can't use vegetable kishka. Right here. So, imazamnim Yisrael al-Bnei Me'ayim, says Reish Lakish, you're allowed to give kishka to a Jew, but you're not allowed to give kishka to a guy. Why not? Why can't you give b'nei me'ayim to a guy? And we're going to get to, in a minute, the Gemara is going to deal with the question that you might be thinking about, is there anything usher to a guy that's mutter to a Jew? We'll get to that soon. But the Gemara first says, my time, what's the svara? Yisrael de b'shchita talya milsa, a Yisrael, who there's a chiddush, a Torah of shchita by a Jew, kivan di'ika shchita ma'al yisa ishtari luhu. So he goes through the proper shchita. And that's why it's okay. You cut the kana, and then you cut the veshet, and there's no problem, and you go through the proper shchita, and the chiddush haTorah is that you do this action, and everything becomes mutter. But the problem is, by a goy, ovdei kochavim dibenechira sagiluhu ubemisa talya milsa, the second that you start the shchita, there's no concept of shchita by a goy. The second that you start the shchita, it already is basically considered dead. It's considered dead, it's flailing around, but it's considered, if it's already considered dead, but it's not fully dead, and this part of the animal already has a problem with it because you started killing it, so it's like Eiver Menachai. And therefore, Hanik Eiver Menachai Dami. It's as if it's Eiver Menachai. By a Jew, you don't have a problem because the Torah is Machadish, you go through the whole process of Shechita, and until you finish the animal, it's fine, this is what you're supposed to do, so there's no issues. But when it comes to a guy where you could have done nechira, you could have just killed the animal quicker, and therefore, here it's a problem. Look at Rashi. Rashi says, in Midrash Lakish, Shema Amina im is anu of the kachava, but imayim why mishum reya, tahavi kamosha hotziya mina behema bodim afarkas. It's as if you took it out. Rish Lakish says, right when you cut a part of the animal, it's as if it's out. So here too, right when you cut, it's as if it's out even while it's flailing. It's not totally on shchita, it's totally on being dead. So if it's still flailing, it might still be considered alive. Because you don't go by a maisa shchita. And therefore, it's as if the part of the animal is detached already, according to Reish Lakish, but the animal's still alive. What do you mean? That's called Eiver Menachai. That's why it's a problem for a guy and not for a Jew. Again, according for a Jew, it's not a problem, because you call until, right when you finish the Maisa Shechita, you cut to Simanim, period, it's finished, it's over. And until you cut to Simanim, you didn't do what you're supposed to do. So there's no point that we would say, oh, it's as if this part of the animal is detached while the animal's alive. Before you Shech to Simanim, nothing happened yet. The second you Shech to Simanim, so then the animal's halachically dead, even if it's still flailing. But by a guy, where you go by Misa, so according to Reish Lakish, the second that you cut this part of the animal, it's considered detached from the animal yet, but the animal's not dead yet. But halakhically, it's considered part of the, outside the animal. So it's just like Eiver Menachai. Eiver Menachai is one of the Sheva Mitzvahs. I'm sorry. So it might not only be B'nei Me'ayim. Might not only be B'nei Me'ayim. It might be any part of the animal that would be considered detached once you cut this piece. So that is the Chiddush of Rav Acha Bar Yaakov based on Reish Lakish. Well, it's before Kassas.
You cut a piece off, cut the leg off.
Same problem.
Even after it dies, even if it's
exactly. If it's while it's before Kassas, if you cut a piece off, that will be Eiver Menachai.
Can never be
eaten. Exactly. That's Rav Acha Bar Yaakov. Because you asked the question, if you literally cut it off. This is saying halachically is considered cut off. So therefore, it's as if you did it before the animal died. So isn't that would be a literal case of Eiver Menachai. This is a halachic case of Eiver Menachai. That's why it says, Eiver Menachai dummy. Good. So Amar Rav Papa. So says Rav Papa, Havi Yasivna, Kami Rav Acha Bar Yaakov. I was sitting in front of Rav Acha Bar Yaakov when he said this Chiddush. Uba'i de'emale, and I wanted to ask him. I meant to ask him. How many times has this happened to us? I really should have asked him. Uba'i de'emale, mi'ika midi de'li Yisrael shari lo v'kachavim asr. Is there anything that's mutter for a Jew and asr for a guy? We never have that. Right? Even on a derabbanan level, sometimes we say that we don't want that to occur. So, for example, the Gemara says in Yevamos, when a brother and a sister convert, so midah oraisa, they can marry each other, because gershin is garkan shenola dami, whatever the source is. Nowhere in Shas does it say a source. Chassam Sofer wonders what exactly is the source of that halacha, but it's true. Whether it's whether we know the source or not, Meshul Chachma has a suggestion. But so that's what we say midah rabbanan, they can't marry each other. They shouldn't say banu mikdusha chamru l'kdusha kala. You shouldn't be able to say that. So it's a similar concept. So do you ever have something that's mutter for a Jew and usher for a guy? So I wanted to ask him that question, Rav Papa said. Below Amrile, but I didn't. Da amino hatayma kamar. Because he gave a reason for what he said. So I didn't ask him the question. Period. Okay, so this seems to be an exception to the rule. Tosfos, though, here deals with many other cases are the exceptions to the rule or not. So we get to have a discussion of four or five other areas of halacha where we see it seems to be that there's a heter for a Jew and not for a guy. So number one asks Tosfos, what about Yifas Toar? What about Yifas Toar? Ask Tosfos right at the beginning of the Tema, third line in Tosfos. To be perikam by Mises Parich. Vahika Yifas Toar. Right, the Yifas Toar is something that's mutter for a Jew. You don't have a parallel concept by a guy. Umishani shiny ovikochavim delav bnei kibush ninhu. They're not bnei kibush. V'hochen, so the Gemara says they're not in that parsha, not in that world. Therefore, that's not a violation. What does that mean? Delav bnei kibush ninhu. The Rishash says it's as if the only heter is if you're kovesh, and here they're never considered koshim halachically for a milchemes mitzvah. But look, Tosfos says they're not in the parsha. So hachanami. So why don't you say here they're not in the parsha? What's the problem here? It's not a question of they're within the same halachas. Like by the example I gave before, marriage, arayos. Jews have arayos and goyim have arayos. So here's one an arayos that's mutter for a Jew and also to a goyim. That's a problem. But here Tosfos says that the Gemara says in Sanhedrin, if they're not in that world of halacha, you can't ask the question if it's apples and oranges. So here, why don't you say the same thing here? They're not in the world of shechita.
What?
The Isser is, there's still a halacha of Kadesha, there's still a halacha that he, there's Eishas Ish, there's a concept of a rise to a guy, there are different halachas.
So
there's a concept, they have to be miyachid, let's say he's miyachid, this soldier has a wife, misyachid with her at home. So, it could be a rise. So Tosfos says, he wonders why there would be a problem here, because they're not in the same world. So Tosfos leaves it as a question for now, we'll come back. But V'ein Lahakshos, Tosfos says, don't ask from probably the most famous concept that he asked from, what about a Goya keeping Shabbos? A Jew is allowed to keep Shabbos, a Goya is not. How can they be saying that's mutter for a Jew? What about learning Torah? What about learning Torah, Shabbos and Torah? So Tosfos says, this is an underlined Tosfos, d'bidvar shuhu mitzvah l'Yisrael lasos, lo shayach l'meimer mika midi. If there's a mitzvah, it's not shayach, that's just something that's mutter, it's an issue that's chayiv. A Jew is chayiv to keep Shabbos. A Jew is chayiv to learn Torah. You can't ask, what about a guy? It doesn't apply to mitzvahs. It doesn't apply to mitzvahs. I think we've quoted in the past the beautiful lashon of the Rambam. The Rambam, as Tosfos, and the Gemara seems to do, but the Rambam really doesn't beferish, the two halachas that a Jew is not allowed to keep, a guy is not allowed to keep, the Rambam puts together. You would think it's separate. In the Gemara, it seems to be separate. The Gemara says, why can't a guy learn Torah? Gemara said, Hedron Daf and Test. The Gemara says, why? One of two reasons. Either it's Arayos, because we're married to Hashem. We're married to Hashem, and therefore if a guy tries to learn, it's Arayos. Or it's Gezel. Torah Tzivalana Moshe, Mora Shaki, Las Yaakov. And therefore, it was given to us, it wasn't given to them. So one of two reasons. A guy Shavas is Chayim Misa, separate, there's no separate halacha. But if you look in the Rambam puts these two in the same halacha. In Malachim Perakir, halacha Tes, and he gives us Svara. Why Dafka these two? Why Dafka these two? Aren't there other mitzvahs that, what's unique about these two, Shavas and Talmud Torah? Says the Rambam, Goy Shasak Batara Chaya Misa, Lo Yasog Ela B'Sheva Mitzvah Shalom Bilvad. You should only be Osik in the Sheva Mitzvahs, which the Gemara says. V'chein Goy V'chein. The Rambam has a V'chein here. V'chein Goy Shashavas Afilu B'yomi Yemosachol. Even on a Tuesday, Machlok has been shown him, that's what the Rambam paskins. Even if the Rambam keeps Shabbos, if a Goy keeps Shabbos on Tuesday, Im Asa Oso La'atzmo Kamo Shabbos, Chayiv Misa. The Ein Tzarech Lomar, Im Asa Moed La'atzmo. And also if he makes a yantif, and he holds up an Isser Malacha. Klal shel davar, and here's the Rambam. Ein manichin osan l'chadesh das, v'lasos mitzvos la'atzman midaitan. These two mitzvahs are part of defining our religion. And if they do either of these, they're creating a new religion. Elak o yeh ger tzedek v'yakabel kol ha-mitzvahs, o yamud b'taraso v'lo yosef v'lo yigra. Those two, you have a choice. You have seven, which I think we've quoted in the paper. The Chinuch says it's seven categories. There's a lot in each of the categories. There's a lot of Avodah Zarah. Let's say there's 30, whatever the number is. Or 613. One or the other. But you can't make up your own religion. That these two are reflective of a new religion. If a guy keeps Shabbos, if a guy learns Torah, then they're bordering on, those are defining of the Jewish religion, and therefore if they take those upon themselves, that's a new religion. And that's why they're not allowed to do that. If a guy keeps kosher, if a guy, any of the other men, the guy wants to put a makkah on his house, l'shem mitzvah, if a guy, anything, other things, not, that's not coming up with a new religion. but these two are. The Radvaz there on that halacha says maybe they shouldn't do mitzvahs that have to do with a ksav of Torah. This is not in the Gemara. This is the Radvaz right there. Mikol makom mitzvah setzrichin kedusha v'tara kagon tefillin sefer Torah u'mezuzah ani chochech lahachmir. Which is interesting because sometimes goyim do put on mezuzahs. Out of all the mitzvahs, sometimes they see these Jew guards and they do put them on. But the Radvaz here says maybe the tashmishi kedusha, as we call them, the Gemara in Megillah, they shouldn't do that. But that is the that's the Rama. Right, big Shaila, how does a Jew, how does a guy keep Shabbos when he's coming from and when he's on the way, and other examples. But that's Tosas. Tosas is Yisod. There's no question of Mi'ik Amidi when it comes to mitzvahs. That is, we spoke about Yifas Torah a little bit. We spoke about, Tosas speaks about, Ogoy Sheshavas, Ogoy Sheshavas, Ogoy Torah. And then Tosas says, another one, what about abortion? What about abortion? The Gemara says in Sanhedrin, abortion, a goy is chayiv misa for. A Jew is not chayiv misa for abortion. Machlokas achronim, is it isadaraisa, is it drabanan? Rav Moshe holds that abortion is an isadaraisa, of lo sirtzach, others say it's an isadarabanan. Either way, it's asr. It's an isr gadol. But, yeah, the Gemara says that a goy, benoach is chayiv for arigas ubrin. So, how could a Jew not be chayiv misa? Says Tosas, now two lines down. V'afagav de benoach nerag ala ubrin kidamar hasa, v'yisrael eno nerag. Nehi de pater mikakam moshari. Mi'ik amidi only is asked when there's something that's mutter for a Jew and usher for a guy. Here it's usher for both. It's usher for both. It's usher even for a Jew. You're not chayav misa for various reasons. But that is the halacha, they're both chayav. There's a big discussion on the sheet of the Rambam when it comes to this. Again, I'll just quote the Rambam. We're not having a shiur on abortion now. Maybe we will at some point. But the Rambam says in Ilchas Rotzeach, in Parak Aleph, halacha Tess. Halacha Tess. Harezu mitzvahs lo sase shalachas al nefesh rodef. The context there is talking about rodef. Somebody's rodef after chaver lahargo, you're allowed to kill the rodef. That's the halacha. So the Rambam says, lefichach, horu chachamim, shaha ubra shihi makasha leleid, if a woman is having pain, difficulty in childbirth, and her life is in danger, mutter lachto cha ubra b'me'eha. You're allowed to kill the baby if the woman's life is in danger. Why? Mipnei shehu kirodef acharei laharga. The baby is kirodef, like a rodef of the mother, putting the mother's life in danger. V'im mishahotzi rosho, but the second that the head comes out, ein nogin bo. You don't touch him. She'ein dochin nefesh mipnei nefesh. All right, that's the lashon of the Rambam. So it sounds like from the Rambam that the status of nefesh starts at birth, so why aren't you allowed to kill the baby beforehand if the mother's life is not in danger? It's not a nefesh yet.
Birth is the head.
Birth is, so it might be over the body or just the head, right? So or the Rambam is assuming it's not breach, right? She ain't doche nefesh b'pnei nefesh. That's the lashon of the Rambam. Big discussion. Reb Chaim on it and Or Sameach. But then the Rambam adds four more words. What does that mean? V'zehu tivo shel olam. That's the Rambam ends off the halacha. And this is the way of the world. What is that line going on? Right, before, once the baby comes out, you're not allowed to touch it, and this is the way of the world. Or is that going on the earlier part? The baby's, right, it's not a, even if it is a nefesh beforehand, very unclear exactly. The Rambam is saying something here. You know he's saying something major. Just not exactly sure what he's saying, but that's the Rambam in Perek Av, Halacha Tes, in Hilchos Ro Seach. Okay, but that also has to do with, this line of, nefesh, mipnei nefesh. One final line, case of the Tosfos. Again, Tosfos all over brings up all these cases. So here he brings up a number of them. The end of Tosfos. Tosfos says, what about Aver Menachai? Aver Menachai is Aser B'mashehu D'oraisa to a guy. Shiurin, Gemara says in the beginning of Sukkah, is Halacha Moshe Misinai, which only applies to a Jew, not to a non-Jew. So a Jew has to eat a kezias of Aver Menachai. A guy, right, if a Jew only eats a mashehu, he doesn't get punished. So again, Tosfos says, but we pass on like Rabbi Yochanan, Chatzi Shir, Aser Midaraisa. So again, even though there's no Onesh, what would Reish Lakish do? What would Reish Lakish do? Reish Lakish holds Chatzi Shir is Mutter Min HaTorah, so it could be, I saw some Achronim say this, Reish Lakish might reject the principle of Mi'ik Amidi. Because throughout Shas, you find that Rabbi Yochanan is asking that question, not Reish Lakish. So he might reject that, and therefore he might not have to be subject to that standard. Okay, we go weiter. Shabbos and Torah. All right, it's a good question. Why not? Why not any bris like about bris tefillin, right? And Shabbos, those, right? So that's So that's not a, even though on a hashkafic level, I guess those are defining also, like the Zohar says, you always, that's why you always eat, there's no tefillin on Shabbos, because you always need two osas. And that's why on Shabbos you have tefillin, you don't have tefillin because you have mila and Shabbos. And on a weekday you have tefillin and mila. So the, you're right. You know, why the os must be on a hashkafic level. I mean, it influences halacha, but, there's something special about Torah and Shabbos. Even more than just tefillin and bris mila. The Gemara in the Chidah's question, the Birkei Yosef, you know, if somebody's an RL, should they wear tefillin on Shabbos? Somebody cannot get Mila. Let's say he's a hemophilia in the family, but you know, so that's his child. He assumes not. The Radvaz also in a Shuvah writes not. Blow plug. You know, it's not. Or the Radvaz's lashon is that he is a bar os. If he can't get Mila, he's a bar os. He's like he's a mahul. He has the os. It's not his fault. Okay. Weiter. Tanya kolor Rabbi Yaakov v'kerlo k'Ravacha bar Yaakov. We have a brisa that's against Ravacha bar Yaakov. The action here is on Amud Aleph today. That's why we're a little more here. The brisa is against Ravacha bar Yaakov, who just said this diuk from Rish Lakish, that you're not allowed to give the B'nai Me'ayim to a guy. Why? Because he says as follows. Harot zalechol mi behema kodem shedezi nafsha. Let's say you want to eat from an animal before it's totally dead. Kodem shedezi nafsha. Why would you want to do that? Because the meat right there is very fresh, as we'll see soon, and it's healthy. So chotech b'ksayis bas b'es ha-shchita, right when you shecht it, you cut out a piece from the area of the neck. Umolcho yafa yafa, and then you salt it very, very well. Umadicho yafa yafa, and then you rinse it very well. Umaftin la chetetzi nafsha va'ochla. And then you wait until it stops flailing, and then you could eat it. But you see from there that... Right, even though you cut it out while the animal is still flailing, it's not called Eiver Menachai. But then the next line is the key one for us. Echad ov dekel chavim ve'echad Yisrael mutarin ba. Even a goy is mutar for it. Aye, Rav Chaim Yaakov says, wait a minute! Until the animal stops flailing, it's considered Eiver Menachai. Haraya, that this is a brisa against Rav Chaim Yaakov. Messiah leder Ravidi bar Avin. This is also a right to Ravidi bar Avin. Am Ravidi bar Avin. Am Rav Yisrael ben bar Ashion. Harotze sheyavri. If somebody wants to be healthy, chote kazayis batim beis hashchita shavahema. He takes the piece of the animal right away. Umolchol yafe yafe. Umadichol yafe yafe. And umamtin lachadesi nafshin. Wait till it stops flailing. Echad ovek achav ve'achisom mutarin ba. So it's a machlokas. It's machlokas achronim whether you can give the kishka to the guy. Giving it to the guy, that is a machlokas. Interesting, I saw in the Mizrahi, the beginning of Vayeshev, says maybe this, he goes to the details here, maybe this was the machlokas between Yosef and his brothers. Many Midrashim talk about how Yosef thought that they were eating Eiver Menachai. What do you mean, the brothers were eating Eiver Menachai? So maybe it was this issue. It was that the animal was still flailing, and they were eating from it earlier, and the question is, Yosef thought you weren't allowed to eat it, and they thought you were allowed to eat it. Maybe it has to do with what was the status of the Shvatim. Before Matan Torah, were they Jews? Were they pre-Jews, or were they super Bnei Noach? Whatever the formulation is, we touched on that in the past in terms of the status of the Avos before Matan Torah. Anyway, so that is the Mizrahi says this is the issue that is discussed between Yosef and his brothers. Okay. This is a case, correct. This is not just a halachic Eiver Menachai. This is a, right after you do the shechita, you pull it off. Right after you do the shechita, you pull it off. Right? Even more than the previous case. Tosfos discusses here that usually you wash the animal before you salt it. Not just after you salt it. So why is it that, you know, here it doesn't mention it. So Tosfos says on the top Tosfos that maybe, it's included. It's included when it says yafe yafe. That means that, you're cleaning it even before. Okay. We mentioned in the mitzvah shir before the summer that the chinuch writes that already the Gemara discusses different parts of the animal that have so much extra blood, so Chazal instituted having to do higher standards of cleansing of the blood. Most of the animal, you just do malicha. But when it comes to the liver, when it comes to other parts of the animal which have... a higher blood concentration, you have to do more. So every part of the animal, like it says here, mocha, yafa, yafa, each part of the animal, respectively, has to be taken care of based on what the mitzias is. Okay, next Mishnah. Says the next Mishnah gets us into a little tuma and tara. For a couple of blot, we're going to get into a little tuma and tara before we get back to shechita. Here we go. Hashochet mehim b'chai ba'of, v'lo yatsa mehen dam. What happens if you do a shechita and no blood comes out? No blood. Right, it's an amazing occurrence. Kasherim. So point number one, it's kosher. What's the Havamina otherwise? Why would I have thought it's not kosher if blood doesn't come out? So the Rambam says pashtus. because you would have thought there's something wrong with this animal. You would have thought like the animal is like dead before you started shechting it. There's no blood. So the Rambam says, you're not choshesh that it was dead beforehand. That's the language of the Rambam. But if you look at the Rashba, it's a very important Rashba right here. One line. But that one line opens up a world for us that we're going to talk about again a lot in the fifth parak. In the fifth parak. And that is, the Rashba says, even though you can't do kisui hadam, don't think the animal's not kosher. It's still a good shechita. What do you see from that Rashba? In the Lamdis, in the Gemara, the Rishonim already formulated. Kisui hadam in Lamdis is sof ma'isa shechita. Even though it's a separate mitzvah saseh. But in Lamdis, it's the end of the Ma'isa Shechita. And that's the Havamina here. You would have thought that if you can't do Kisi Adam, and if you didn't do Kisi Adam, the Shechita's not good. Kamash Malan, you don't go that far. But Kamash Malan doesn't mean you reject the Havamina totally. Kamash Malan, it is Sof Ma'isa Shechita, but don't go that far. That's the Rash. Ulashmira Nami, Ti Avagav de B'nei Kisui Ninhu, Lo Mifsuli Ki Lo Yatza Mehem Dam. And here in the footnote, in the Rashba, he talks all about this discussion of the Achronim. But that's how they, but it's already in the Rishonim, that Kisi Adam in Lamdis is looked at as Sof Ma'isa Shechita, and therefore, that's the Havamina right here. If you look in the Shulchan Aruch even discusses this. Shulchan Aruch, there's one simon in Shulchan Aruch about Kisi Adam. In Simen Chafres, the Shulchan Aruch says, Hashochid Chaya Of, Tzorch Lachasos Damo, Bein Tzadan Ata, Bein Shoyim Mizumanim Biyado, Haga, Vahakisui Hu Mitzvah Bifnei Atzmo, Aval Hashchita, Kshera Af Em Hizid Velo Kisa. The Ramah feels the need to write, even if you were bemazed, wore a Machas of the Dam, don't worry, the Shchita is still valid. The Shach says, Dilo Ki, which of the acronym is, Tiloka Habach. The Bach says, it's not kosher if you did it b'meizi, you weren't machas of the dam. So is that just a knas? You didn't do this mitzvah? Or is there some lumdis there that there's a pgam even in the shechita? It's a problem even in the shechita. And it's the language. Mitzvahs kisui hi gemar mitzvah shechita. That's the language here of the Taz. The be'emesi mitzvah b'fnei atzma, elo she'shaicha achar mitzvah shechita, kimo tfilin shel rosh im shel yad. That's his comparison. Wow. It's two mitzvahs, but it's they go together. One bracha. Okay. Anyway, let's go weiter. So that's the first line of the Mishnah. If you shecht an animal and no blood comes out, still the animal's kosher. And though you're allowed to eat it with tamei hands. Why? Because l'fishlo hukshru b'dam. As we know from Sefer VaYikra, in order for food to become hukshar l'kabal tum, in order for it to become tamei, it has to be hukshar with one of the seven liquids first. So here there was dam didn't come out. So this meat was not hukshar l'kabel tuma, because usually the blood itself is machshir l'kabel tuma, but here it wasn't. Rav Shimon Omer hukshar b'shchita. Rav Shimon says, no. I argue, we'll have to get to that in the Gemara. It's mukshar, just the shchita itself is machshir. We'll have a note about the seven liquids in a minute, but first let's continue. By the way, washing, we say yadayim misovos, the origin of our washing our hands today goes back to washing hands for tuma and tahara. It's a nice Mishnah Brura in terms of being an inspiration. Mishnah Brura says at the beginning of Hilchas Hamotzi, Netilas Yadayim, Kufnun Ches. The Mishnah Brura says, why do we wash our hands today before we eat bread? So the Mishnah Brura says it's an extension. The Tam Takadat Netila, it's from the earlier, it's from Chazal. Mipshnei Dvarim, Echad Mabnei Srach Truma, the Kiva the Yadayim Askanios, Vinogim Mechal Davar, since our hands touch everything, Ubizmashay no Heg Tuma Vitara Vakonim Achlu Truma, in the days that they ate Truma, they had to wash their hands beforehand. So as an extension of that, we do that. The gam achshav sheinkon in Oaklin, lo batla takanazu, kadeshi regilim b'nei Yisrael, kisheyibana beis hamikdash b'mehrav yameinu lechol b'tara. So every time we go wash our hands at the sink, we should think about b'mehrav yameinu. We're doing this and we're ready for Mashiach. Right? That's what we have to think about when we wash our hands. Okay, that is miyadayim esovos. It says the Gemara, time of the loyos amandan. What the reason that you're allowed to eat the animal with tummy hands is because blood didn't come out. But if blood didn't come out, you can't? Am I? If we're talking about hands being tummy and the body not being tummy, so what level of tumma are the hands? The only tumma that we know of that hands can become tummy on a derabbanan level when the body is not tummy is the level of shnios latumma. Chazal, in certain cases, goes there that hands should be shnios latumma. Not more than that. So by sheni latuma, vein sheni osa shlishi b'chulin. And the Mishnah is talking about chulin. So what's the problem? If I'm eating chulin, what does the Mishnah say? Oh, you're allowed to eat this with tamei hands because it wasn't mukshar. What if it was mukshar? You wouldn't be able to. Hands are shnios at most. So what would be the problem anyway? So the Gemara says, one second, how do you know the Mishnah is talking about chulin? Maybe it's talking about kachim. So the Gemara says, no, four rayas. Four rayas, the Mishnah is talking about chulin. Number one, diktani chaya. Number one, it says, shashochet behema the chaya. Dilu kachim, chaya bekachim meika. There's no chayas for a carbon. Visu, number two, iba kachim kilo yatsami and dam ksheira. What, by kachim, if there was no blood, the animal's kosher? How are you supposed to do the carbon then? How, atzmol adam utzarech. You have to do zrikas adam, number two. Number three, Vesu, Iba Kachim, Kiyas Meandam, Meandam Mi Machshir. If blood came out, is Dam Kachim Machshir anyway? So if there was no blood, is it a kosher carbon? And even if there is blood, it's not Machshir. The Amr Rabbi Chibar Abba, Abba Rabbi Yochanan, Minayin L'Dam Kachim Sheino Machshir, Shenemar Al Aretz Yishmachenu Kamayim. Dam Shenishbach Kamayim Machshir. Blood that goes on the floor is Machshir. Sheino Nishbach Kamayim Mino Machshir. The blood that doesn't go on the floor is not Machshir. So, it can't be talking about kachim. So one final point. Iba kachim ki lo yatsam am dam, lo miskhajari. And by kachim, you're telling me it's totally on blood? Blood of kachim is not makshir. But there's another principle that's makshir by kachim. Lis kashri b'chibas hakodesh. Tekaimel and chibas hakodesh mechash artan. We have this principle back in Maseches Menachos and Zvachim. Chibas hakodesh. The principle that kachim are very beloved to the Jewish people. So the Gemara uses that concept to say that in kachim, you're allowed to break certain rules. So we had it back in Menachos to tell me that certain items that are not ra'ui la'achila could still be subject to tumas ochlin, even though it's not like the wood. The wood that uses the mizbeach. So that's not, why would that become tummy? That's not a kli. It's not food. So it's a chiddush. Yes, it's subject to tumah. Why? Because chibas hakodesh machsharatan. Right? That's this principle. So it's not totally on blood anyway. So for these four reasons, the Mishnah can't be talking about chulin. The Minchas Chinuch talks about, every time chibas hakodesh comes up, we mention this. The Minchas Chinuch in mitzvah kuf mem hey notes that there are two types of chibas hakodesh. Different context. Sometimes chibas hakodesh makes something that's not roi la'achila, roi la'achila. Sometimes it makes something that is not mukshar l'kabal tumah, mukshar l'kabal tumah, even without getting wet. The Minchas Chinuch points out that second one is a bigger chiddush. To make something that's not roi la'achila, okay, it's so chashiv to you, you consider it food. That's fine. But something that's not wet, it has to become wet. Why should, just because you love it so much, it's considered as if it became wet? So Minchas Chinuch leaves a betzar achi, and he says, I just find that one as a big chiddush. So I think we mentioned that if you look at Hukshar l'kabal tumah as giving it the status of a shame ochel, so then maybe that could help. Not for now, but that could help. Just one thing just came up yesterday. I thought of it. I thought I'd mention it. I don't know if I mentioned it before. Remember a few months ago, I saw one of these, Torah from the internet sheets. So I saw, I was talking about the seven mashkim that are Makshir l'kabal tumah, Yad Shach Adam, the Mishnah at the end of Makshirin. And he quoted there that the seven mashkin are parallel to the seven Yomim Tovim. If you think about it, six out of seven work out perfectly. You got to work hard for the seventh one. But if you think about Yad Shach Adam, so we have Yayin, that's Purim. Dvash, right? Yad, that's Rosh Hashanah. Shochat, Shemen, is Chanukah. Ches, Chalav, is Shavuos. We'll skip Tes for a minute, skip Tal for a minute, and then Dam is Pesach, and Mayim is Sukkos. Is Nisach HaMayim. So six out of seven are perfect. Tal and Yom Kippur, that's the one you just got to work on. So I think you remember he said something about how Tal goes up to Shamayim, and on Yom Kippur we go up to Shamayim also, we're close to HaKadosh Baruch Hu. But it's a beautiful thought. Six out of seven got to work out what's the connection between the seven mashkim that are machshel, l'kabal tumah, and the Yom Tovim. It's got to work on that, but there's definitely something there. That there are seven Yom Tovim, and six out of seven work out perfectly. The seventh one you got to work out with Tal and Yom Kippur, but that's it's a good way also to remember the seven mashkim. Yad Shach Adam. Okay. Anyway, so the Gemara asked Akasha. We're ending up with the questions. What's the Gemara talking about? There was no blood, so you're allowed to do it. But we're not talking about Kasha. We're talking about Chulin. So, Amar, Nachman, Amar, Amar, Avua. Hacha b'chulin shalachem b'kez ha'maisur askin. And we are talking about Chulin, but we're talking about a type of Chulin that you have to worry about becoming Tamei. Chulin that you bought with Maisur Sheni money. You went to Yerushalayim, you bought Chulin with Maisur Sheni money. Udilo k'Rebbe Meir. And not like Rebbe Meir. Meaning, because Rebbe Meir says you don't have to worry about it becoming Tamei. Ditznan, because the Mishnah says in Maseches Parah, Kol aton b'yasmayim midivrei sofrim, anything that midirabanan, you have to tovel, that's tami midirabanan, mitame es hakodesh, anything that's tami midirabanan, could be mitame kodesh. Mitame always means it can make something tame, and that thing can make something else tame. The word posel means it can make something tame, and that's where it ends. As there is between Metame and Posel. So anything that's Tame Midrabanan could be Metame a carbon, meaning two levels. Uposel as a truma. Umutter bechulin b'meiser. But if it's only tamei midrabanan, then it doesn't do anything to chulin a meiser sheni. Divra b'meir. So what do you see? What's her meir shita? Meiser sheni, don't worry about becoming tamei. V'chachamim ostrin b'meiser on a drabanan. V'chachamim aser b'meiser. So our mishnah is according to the chachamim. Again, our mishnah has to be talking about chulin. We prove that four times. So it's talking about chulin that you bought with meiser sheni money, and you have to be worried about the tumen tara of that. That's why our mishnah says you can't eat it with your daim esavos, tamei hands, if it was mukshar. Fine. So Maskel Rosh Yemei Barashi Mimai. How do you know our mishnah is only in the only? How do you know our mishnah fits it according to the Rabbanan? Dilma Arkan Lepligi Rabbanan LeDrabi Meir Alabachilas Meiser. Maybe the Rabbanan only say Meiser is a problem by eating. Aval Binegia De Meiser, but by just touching Meiser Sheni, the Achila De Chulin or eating Chulin Lepligi. Maybe the Rabbanan would agree that just touching Meiser Sheni, you don't have to wash your hands for. And then we would be stuck that our mishnah is according to nobody. And we know the mishnah is talking about just touching it. It says itin. It doesn't say ochlin. Ne'echalin. And milo askina de kasafi lechavre. It could very well be that our mishnah is talking about a case where my friend put it into my mouth. Meaning, back to the question. Question mark. We're trying to figure out who the mishnah is like. So let's remember the flow of the Gemara, just the halt cup. The Mishnah says you cannot eat something with tame hands in a case where it was mukshal kabal tumah, where there was no blood from the animal, there's no problem. So what's the Mishnah talking about where there's a potential of tumah? It has to be talking about chulin. So chulin, you have to worry about tumah? So we said, yeah, chulin that you bought with Meiser Sheni money. So we just said, no. Everybody agrees that you're allowed to touch that. The only issue is eating it. And our Mishnah is talking about touching it. So back to the question. Ella, Amar Papa, try number two. What's our Mishnah talking about? Hacha biyadayim tchilos askinan. We're talking about a case where you have your hands that are risho matuma. There's some case, according to some man to Amar that we're about to mention, that hands, even though usually we assume hands and most could be shnios latuma, there's a case that hands could be even rishon. Who? Reb Shimon ben Elazar he. What's the case? Titania. Ein yadayim tchilos lachulin. The Tanakhama says hands cannot be rishons for chulin. Reb Shimon ben Elazar omer mishumer be meir yadayim tchilos lachulin. They can be rishons for chulin v'shnios l'truma, and they can also be shnios regarding touching truma. Tchilos lachulin in the truma. What do you mean? It's not rishon for truma. The hakigamar tchilos af lachulin. No, it means even for chulin. Of course, it could be a rishon for truma, but it could be even for chulin. Shnios l'truma in af lachulin. Shnios l'truma in lachulin lo. Period. So that's what the Gemara means. So again, the Gemara says, that's what our Mishnah is talking about, a case where your hands could be a rishon. So that could be a problem, even for chulin. So the Gemara says, do you ever have such a case? Umika yadayim tchilos? Do you ever have a case where hands could be a rishon and your body's tahar? Would you ever have such a case? Where it says, in, yes, the following case. Titanya. The Brisa says, hichnis yadav l'bayis hamenuga. Let's say a person sticks their hands into a house that has saras. Whether that ever took place or not is a machlokas. But let's say you stick your hands into a house that has saras. Yadav tchilos. Divi Rabbi Akiva. Rabbi Akiva says your hands become rishons. V'chachamim omrim yadav shnios. No, your hands become shnios. What's the machlokas about? The Gemara explains. D'kolei alma bia b'miksas lo shma bia. Everybody agrees that if you don't go into the house entirely with your body, that's not halachically sir going into your house. Bia b'miksas lo shma bia. V'hacha b'gzeira yadav atuguva kamiflagi. Really, you didn't go in. The question is, mi derabanan, we're gonna be metame your hands that went in. So, what level of tumah are we gonna make them tame? Mar savar yadav kigufo shavini rabanan. So, one, the first opinion says, we're gonna make it as if your body went in. If your body went in, the person becomes a rishon, so your hand's gonna be a rishon. Umar savar yadayim ki yadayim da'alma. No, the other person said, no, we're gonna go like general, when hands become tame, what do we make them? Shnios. So here too, we're gonna make them shnios. Shavinu rabbanan. Period. So that's the case of the Mishnah. We're talking about chulin, and your hands are rishons, in the case where it could become a rishon, and that's why even rishons could be problematic for chulin. Derech Aga, by the way, the sugya, bia b'miksas, lo shma bia, is very halacha l'maisa. In terms of, Rav Nevenzal talks about in the end of his Sefer on the 3 weeks, in Yonah Diyoma, he has many psukim from Shlomo Zalman regarding the 3 weeks and Zechel HaMikdash, and so he talks about there by putting Fitzlach in the Kotel. So he talks about there, Rav Nevenzal says, he writes it in his own way, he says, I don't know, HaKadosh Baruch Hu knows what you want even if you don't stick the paper in. And if you want to stick it in, he says, I don't know, Bia B'miksas, according to some Tanam, Shema Bia. We don't have a Shulchan Aruch on it. But he says, I'm not so sure. He says, so there are poskim that are mekel. Obviously, the minhag olam is to be mekel. We're not being motzi laws on anyone right now. But we're just saying that this is the issue of stick. There is bia b'mikdash, the Tosfos here talks about it a little bit. You might say there's a difference between harabayis and closer in. And the kotel is even further out. So even if you say shma bia, it might not be a problem. But either way, this relates to that issue. Period. Says the Gemara, the look maker Rabbi Akiva. So the Gemara says, okay, it's like Rabbi Shimon ben Elazar shita. The look maker Rabbi Akiva to Amar Yadav Tzkilas Havin. So why do we have to jump to Rabbi Shimon ben Elazar? Why don't we say it's like Rabbi Akiva, who just quoted here that in this case of Baisa Manuka, that your hands are Rishons. So Dilma Kikam Rabbi Akiva Hanimili Bichumav Akachim Dechamiri. No, we don't have Beferis that Rabbi Akiva talking about Chulin. So he might say they're only considered Rishons regarding Shum and Kachim. Avol Chulin Shnius Havin, but for Chulin they might still be Shnius. That's why you dafka have to go to Rabbi Shimon ben Elazar. So Gemara says, 1 second, v'levi nami shtiyas. But if it's Rabbi Akiva, he even says shniyos are problem for chulin. Ta'ashamina le'ed Rabbi Akiva, ta'amar shniyos ha'shlishi b'chulin. We don't paskin this way. We assume that if I touch chulin food with anything less than a rishon, nothing happens. We hold a rishon can make a sheni by chulin, a sheni can make a shlishi by truma, a shlishi can make a revi by kachim. That's what we hold. That's what Rabbi Shonim hold. But there's some tanam that hold otherwise. So Rabbi Akiva says a sheni could affect chulin. So you're telling me, so why don't you say that's the Mishnah's opinion? Ditznan, bo bayom dorsh Rabbi Akiva. Rabbi Akiva said, on that day, what's on that day? On that day, brachas chav zayin, that they removed Rabbi Gamliel from being the chief rabbi, and they put in Rabbi Elazar ben Azariah, even though he was only 18 years old, and he grew a white beard overnight. On that day, bo bayom, Rabbi Akiva said the following drasha, v'chol kli cheres, v'chulu, yitma, every kli cheres will be matame. Tame lo nomer, ela yitma. It says yitma, future tense. Letame acherim. To be matame acherim. Limid al kikar sheni shuos ashlishi b'chulin. We're talking about chulin going into a kli cheres. So you see, it will be matame. It can make a shlishi even in chulin. So why didn't the Mishnah say Rabbi Akiva is the opinion? Why didn't the Gemara say Rabbi Akiva is the opinion of our Mishnah? So dilma hanimili betuma daraisa. Alva bidrabanan lo. Rabbi Akiva might only have held that way when you're dealing with a tuma daraisa. He was dealing with tuma on your hands, which is a tumah d'rabbanan, that you stuck your hand into the bayis hamenuga. So he might not agree with it there. Period. But that is all suggestion number two to who the Mishnah is like. Again, suggestion number one is we're talking about chulin that was bought with maaser money, and we ultimately rejected that. Number two is Rav Papa. We're talking about a case where your dayim are rishons. Your dayim are rishons, and according to the opinion that says rishon affects a chulin. Why not Rabbi Akiva? So ultimately we reject Rabbi Akiva. He might only be talking about tumah daraisas. He only might be talking about truman kachim. Then we're going to stop here, but number three is going to come up, just to quote the line, Amar Blazer Amar Hoshia, Hacha b'chulin shenazval, taras ha-kodesh askinan. Maybe we're talking about a case of chulin that people hold the standards of kachim. That's the case we're talking about in the Mishnah. The Mishnah has to be talking about a case of chulin. So, these are three suggestions here. Which type of chulin are we talking about? Okay, we'll have to stop here. And, Be'ez Hashem, we will continue on Sunday. Everybody should have a Guten Shabbos.